I'm Andrew. It's great to see you all today. Our first reading is on the front of the green handout. It's from Psalm 40. You've got verses 1 to 13 there, but we're just going to read 1 to 5. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Our next reading is from Matthew, which is on the back of the green handout, chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Julie, and I'm doing the next reading. From Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 31, Jesus used lots of stories to teach the people, and this is one of them. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and you never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours.'"
Who am I? That's a question that humanity has been asking itself throughout the entirety of human history, from philosophers just to everyday people have been asking this question, who am I? But today, in our time, it seems more important than ever, right here in Australia, to know, well, where am I? How do I fit in? Because if I don't know who I am, then I'm like those random keys in your drawer at home that you have, but you don't. It doesn't do any of the locks in your house. Or you get to the end of the IKEA flat pack and there's pieces there. And you didn't need them, so what do you do with them? To not have purpose is despairing. That's why it's so important that we have an answer to this question. But also in these days, one of the things that we're finding is it's even more confusing than ever. Because we're being told that you can be whoever you want to be. You can wake up today and just totally recreate yourself. The trouble is, how do I know that I've got it right? How do I know that I've got a right answer to who I am, and therefore then the purpose that I have and where I fit? But not only how do I know I've got it right today, what about tomorrow? I think two movies that sort of capture this moment that we're in, the first one is the Barbie movie, where Ken and Barbie head off. The whole movie is really their journey of trying to discover themselves, their identity, their purpose. And it gets pretty messy, and there's, you know, even towards the end, there's still a bit of uncertainty. But Ken, thankfully, gets to a point where he figures out he's enough. And Barbie, she actually makes that decision to become a human person. See, it's really this journey from being plastic, not a true person, to being a real person. And that's what so many people are seeking to do in this life, to seemingly do the impossible. But maybe Barbie's not your scene. What about Indiana Jones? I know we all know Indiana, but the reality is when you get to the fifth Indiana Jones, he got old. The Punch soundtrack might be the same, but the body sure isn't. And in fact, not to spoil it for anyone, but clearly the younger female lead character tends to take a little bit more of the role of the hero in that movie. See, it's really posing the question for us is, well, who are you when you're not who you used to be? When you're not that younger version of yourself, are you still you when you can't do what you used to be able to do? Where am I? Where am I in all of this? You see, any identity, to truly have an identity, it needs security, to have a confidence about that sense of identity, but it also needs freedom, the ability within it to make changes. Otherwise, if you just got security or freedom, you're just building on sand. And we all know that's not good. You're just waiting for the tide to come and wash it all away. We are living in a time of identity change. There's never been a time in human history like this where seemingly you have the ability to create your entire identity as you wish. What seeming freedom, but also pressure that brings. Just think about creating your own social media profile. Oh, man, everybody's going to see this person that I put out there. Can't be too much of this, can't be too little of that. Got to get it just right. How did we get here? Well, I just want to walk us through pretty quickly three different kind of stages of how people have been seeking and understanding identity. The first one is the traditional view. It's kind of the historical one, and certainly in many countries still today, it's what operates. It's the way that you find security by belonging. you're identifying with the people around you. It's something that it's external to you. It's kind of put onto you. So, for instance, it's about your race, where you're born. It's about your gender. It's about your family and where you fit. And it's about your status in society. That is what, in a sense, used to give us our identity. And there was a certain level of comfort in that. You kind of go, okay, yeah, I know that. I'm an Australian. I'm a male. I'm a son and a brother. I'm a father and a husband. That's me. But that's not all of me, surely. And so at the very least, it was limiting. But for many people, it was actually crushing them. It was crushing, our society was crushing people into a certain mold. And so it was very oppressive for particular races. If you had the wrong coloured skin, then you were very squeezed. Or in terms of gender, particularly for women, whether it be race or gender, you were of less value and you had very limited opportunities. And so quite rightly, society needed an identity change. We needed to leave that oppression behind. And so what we carve now, or we then move to, which we might call the modern idea. The modern idea is be your true self, or be true to you, however you want to phrase it. Be true to yourself. And so instead of something external that's put upon us, we had to look inside ourselves. We are the ones who can discover our true self. Throw off the shackles. Have freedom to find yourself. Sounded great, but then the journey of self-discovery turned out to be pretty hard. It wasn't easy, particularly because the feelings and the desires that I might have, well, they change. So how do I find this true self who keeps changing and moving, and let alone in a society that hasn't necessarily come with me? Well, for many people, the modern idea of identity didn't go far enough. This idea of be true to yourself, well, no. And so we have the postmodern, or the after the modern idea is be whoever you want to be. That you actually, you're a blank slate. You're a blank screen to be able to put whatever you would like on that. There's nothing external that has to shape you, that you've got to fit into a mold. And there's nothing inside you that is fixed or kind of binds you, limits you. There is no fixed you to find. You might have heard the word fluid. We are fluid now to be whoever we want to be. And surely that's going to be easier, right? Trouble is, when there's nothing fixed about me, then when it's all stripped away, there's nothing actually about me that really matters, that's valuable or worthwhile. So who am I? And in the end, I'm left totally insecure. And this is what I suspect we're aware of, not only in our community, but maybe even within yourself. That lack of security, that feeling that you're on sand. It's a little bit like Doctor Who. I know we all know Doctor Who. But there's 14 Doctor Whos. They all have the same memories. The planet of origin is the same. They even share the same TARDIS. But each one of them is a different person. Distinctly different, and in the last case, a different gender. So who's the real doctor? Is any of them the true doctor? Can they claim that? Or are all of them the true doctor? And now that I've got your head spinning, that's exactly the point. That's where we're left. We're so confused. Where am I? Because we're building our identity like a sandcastle on the sand. And we feel that deep inside. There is no security. But also, what we need to see is there's no freedom there either. In the search for identity, in the modern and postmodern ideas, actually, they're just building a cage for us. Because if you think about how do you go about creating this identity, well, it's really typically comes down to either achievement, appearance, or acceptance. And each one is like putting shackles on us. It's a cage. See, when it comes down to our identity through achievement, well, then we have to keep being successful, don't we? And what a cage that is. Having to keep working at it, keep getting, not just be there, but have to keep getting more and more and more. And what a barrier that puts, the bars between us and others, because others then become either competition or they have to be less than us. And how do you relate to people openly like that? Or take trying to find your identity through appearance, and we know that one well. Well, you've got to keep looking good, don't you? Or if it's not just about the external, it's internal, well, you've got to keep being yourself, or you've got to keep feeling yourself, don't you? But what happens when you wake up on that day and you don't feel like yourself anymore? It's a cage. And again, the bars are that really you're in that cage by either other people's standards of what your appearance should be like, or you're a slave to your own feelings of what you should be feeling. And then finally, when we seek to try and find our identity through acceptance, well, we've got to keep being liked, don't we? And so the cage there is, I can't do anything or be anything when I'm afraid of being rejected. So I'll never be my true self. And again, that's such a barrier to relationships with other people, because I can never let them know the true, full me. Each one is a cage. And it means that no one else can get truly close to us. But probably the most frightening thing about it that we all feel is if I lose my achievement, my appearance, or my acceptance, then I lose my identity. That's why we absolutely need a true identity. You and I need this true identity. We need to be building our identity, our lives, on a rock, on something that is absolutely solid and certain. And that's exactly what Jesus says he is. And we had that in that short passage from Matthew. You can see that on the back of the green sheet. Jesus says, I can be the rock that you need. Because he is saying, I'm offering you not just security or freedom, but both. Security, because you'll have an identity that will survive any of the storms of life. And freedom from all of the shackles and from every cage. See, unlike any other way of understanding our identity or achieving it, this is an identity that we can receive. We receive it from God. It's not something that's forced onto us from outside, but it's also not something that we feel the crushing weight of having to create. It's formed. It's not forced, and it's an identity that's already formed for us to receive. We see it in this story that Jesus is talking about with the son. The young son who just decides, look, had enough of this. I want to go off on my journey of self-discovery. So, Dad, give me all the money. I'm out of here. And the story goes, he blows it all on parties. And when the money's all gone, the friends are all gone, and he finds himself in a pig farm in the mud. And it's all gone, like a sandcastle on the beach. But he thinks to himself, hang on, even the servants at my dad's farm are better off than that. Maybe that's what I can get. He doesn't even deserve that, but maybe that's what he can have. But the real part of the story that's so significant is the father's response, isn't it? Did you pick that up as it was read? That he sees the son. He's been looking for his son. Not to get out the shotgun and shoo him away or slam the door. No, to run down the road to greet his son, to throw his arms around him and to kiss him. And as he tries to make out his little speech and get himself back, he says, no, no, no. Get the robes, not these rags. Get the ring, the family ring, because we're throwing a party. Because my son, my child, is back. He is part of the family. Jesus is saying, that's exactly what God wants to do for you and me. To run and throw his arms around us and to give us an identity, a true identity as his children, the very children of God. We're adopted into his family. It's an identity with security and freedom. How do we know this? How can we trust it, that it's so different to any other identity that we might find? Well, let's firstly look at the freedom. Jesus died on a cross. He did that so that we could actually be forgiven for rejecting God, for, in a sense, saying to God, nah, get stuffed, I'm going to find my identity myself without you. He did it so that we would no longer be in that pit that you read, that you can read in that Psalm 40, that poem. That image of being stuck down in a pit in the mud and the mire where we were slaves. Slaves of our feelings. Slaves of the past. Slaves of society and trying to conform to it. And even slaves to our rebellion to God where we just couldn't stop doing that. Jesus can raise us up out of that pit and put our feet on a rock. On him. And the identity that we can receive so that we can have that true freedom of being children of God. And one of the wonderful things about this freedom is it means wherever we go in life, doesn't matter who's there, doesn't matter what's going on, doesn't matter the storms, you can actually be you. Because you are a child of God, no matter what else is going on. What freedom that brings to be our true self. No cages, but free. But it's also secure. Absolutely secure. How do we know that? Because you are loved as you are. You are loved as you are. Jesus died for the real you. Not some pretend religious you, the good person you, or the social media profile you, or the one that you show to everybody. No, no, no. The real you. With all the muck and the dirt and the guilt and the shame. All of it. That's who he died for. Because he loves you. That's a love that can never be lost, never taken away. You see, it's a gift. It's not something that you and I have to achieve or get by an appearance or even being acceptable. We don't win it, we don't work for it. It's been paid for completely when Jesus died on the cross. And when Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days, he guaranteed that it is secure, not just for today and tomorrow, but forever. Your identity is received from God. It's not achieved, it's not based on appearance, and it's not by keeping trying to be acceptable. John was one of the followers of Jesus. And he wrote this. He said, to all who do receive Jesus, to those who believe or trust in his name, in what he's done, He gave the right to become children of God. That's what he's done for us. It's free and secure. Children born not of natural descent. It's not about your family or the nation you were born into, nor of human decision. It's not something that we have to create and discover, or of a husband's will. It's not something that you're locked into at birth, but born of God. The identity is something, it's a new life that God wants to give us as his children. Jesus is calling on each one of us today to receive your true identity from God, and you'll have security and freedom. I'm going to pray in a moment, and I'm going to be asking God to help each one of us to hear what God said to us today and to think about, do we have that true identity? So I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in a society, in a culture at the moment that feels so confusing and so uncertain, that Jesus can be the rock that we can build on, that instead of having to build on sand, now there is a rock, the rock, that's Jesus. And we know it's not only secure, but it also brings this incredible freedom, because we were loved. We were loved so much that Jesus died for the real us. And so I pray today that every one of us here would listen to what you've got to say, would be considering what it would mean to be building on Jesus the rock and not on sand, and that they might come to trust in the identity as your children that brings security and freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned before, everybody should have received a welcome card in the Mac News and the green sheets. It'll be in there somewhere. Please take the time to consider before or even during this next song. That would be a great opportunity to scan the QR code and let us know. Don't sort of think, oh yeah, I'll get to that later on, and then you know the rest of the day just takes you away. This is a great moment to think about how you could respond, how you could take, what is the best next step for you? Maybe it's Hope Explored, maybe it's Word One-to-One, maybe it's just saying, hey, I'd like to have a coffee with someone. So use this time, and like I said, even in the song, that's okay.